Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 17th of July. On Sunday, presidential candidate John Edwards was in New Orleans once again, the place he announced his run for the presidency last December. He has started a three-day tour of poverty-stricken parts of the rural South and in the urban Midwest. He has called for an increase in the federal minimum wage to $9.50 an hour. He has called for businesses to come to impoverished communities that they could help struggling communities, that we have to create incentives for companies to locate in areas, give tax breaks for companies that are willing to come to communities where poverty levels are high and jobs are desperately needed. John Edwards has made anti-poverty a theme. He did so also in the 2004 race, even though it may not be politically popular for him to do so. It's really unclear how much Mr. Edwards will gain from this theme. Most people who turn out to vote don't think of themselves as poor, and they don't identify with the message. But there have been other people who have made this a message. John Edwards has scheduled a visit to Marks, Mississippi, where Dr. Martin Luther King began his Poor People's March in 1968. And the tour is going to end in Prestonburg, Kentucky, where Robert Kennedy concluded a tour of impoverished areas in 1968. We'll be talking about poverty in America, the Edwards message, and the politics of all of this, this hour of our program, and welcoming your phone calls, as we always do. Our guest is Professor Peter Dreyer. He is Distinguished Professor of Politics and Director of the Urban and Environmental Policy Program at Occidental College. Our phone number, as always, is 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. 414-227-2050. Professor Dreyer, hello. Thank you very much for being with us. You know, I'm glad somebody's paying attention to this issue, and he has done this for a long time. It's sort of a, it's sort of part of who he is in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people complain that politicians just read the polls and try to figure out where people are going, and then they'll kind of lead them there. But John Edwards has been talking about poverty for quite some time, and I think one measure of leadership is whether politicians and others try to change public opinion and not just follow it. So I think he's trying to draw attention through this tour and through his presidential campaign. He's trying to draw attention to the fact that 37 million Americans now live below the official poverty line, and by taking this tour of a number of states, he's trying to put a human face on poverty the way Bobby Kennedy did back in 1968.
Right. Did it resonate more in 1968 with people in this country than it does now? If so, why? If not, why?
Well, you know, 1968 was right after the urban riots, and it was a period of civil rights movement and a lot of unrest, and so people were focusing on the plight of the poor and the plight of the cities. And so there's now a conventional wisdom that Americans don't care about that, and so that Edwards is taking a political risk by focusing on poverty and inequality. But in fact, a lot of indications show that Americans are concerned about widening inequality between the rich and everyone else, between the poor and the near poor. There's a lot of people in the United States who work full time and still live in poverty. That's why Edwards is calling for a significant increase in the minimum wage. And all the polls that I've seen show that Americans are much more open to asking the federal government to deal with issues of housing and unemployment and job training than they have been in the last two decades. There's the polls show that Americans are much more favorable towards labor unions, and I think that's because a lot of middle Americans are now feeling, middle class Americans are now feeling the economic insecurities that we associate with poverty, the lack of health insurance, the lack of job security. I think that the issues that Edwards is talking about touch more than just the poor.
Right. He did mention collective bargaining in some of his speeches in the last couple of days, didn't he?
You know, Edwards has spent the last couple of years going around the country working with labor unions who represent janitors and hotel workers and nurses and school teachers and others, trying to draw public attention to their needs. He's been a major force in a number of states working with groups like ACORN to raise the minimum wage in states. So I think that you know, he's been on the front lines for a couple of years, and it's not just you know, a political issue for him. I think it really, as you said before, is part of the core of who he is.
Right, because he came from poverty.
He grew up poor, and he made it as a lawyer representing ordinary people against insurance companies and big business. And I think he understands what it's like to be poor. But I also think that, you know, now that he's a millionaire, a lot of media people are sort of poking fun at the fact that he's he lives in a nice house and he's talking about the poor. But if you think about Franklin Roosevelt, who was a multimillionaire and never really had to work a day in his life before he got into politics, and John Kennedy, who grew up as the son of a very wealthy family, people who inherited wealth, people don't seem to mind when they campaign to help the disadvantaged. So I think Edwards' campaign around poverty and inequality is quite sincere.
You know, it's interesting. 37 million people below the poverty line is a huge number in this country. And when Edwards talks about these two words should not go together, the working poor, he's right. If you're working, you ought to be able to have a decent wage.
You know, we have the highest poverty rate of any industrialized country in the world.
Unbelievable.
Higher than Canada, any of the countries in Europe, Western Europe, higher than, you know, Australia or New Zealand. It's embarrassing for Americans around the world to think we have so much wealth, and yet we have so many people who are poor. And many of those people who are poor, the adults, are people who are working full-time. And if you think about the minimum wage, which has been stuck at $5.15 an hour for a decade, the average person who makes the minimum wage is making less than half the poverty level, which is about $20,000 for a family of four. Congress has voted to raise the minimum wage over the next 2 years to $7.25 an hour, but even that is far below the poverty level. The last time the United States had a minimum wage that reached the poverty line, in other words, it got somebody out of poverty, was back in the late 1960s. And what Edwards is saying is we should do that again. A minimum wage of $9.50 would bring a full-time worker out of poverty, and that seems to make sense. It's part of that theme that we should make work pay.
Mm-hmm. He also talks about and has, as far as I can tell, the most complete plan for universal health care in this country.
You know, there are 46 million Americans without health insurance. But on top of that, a lot of people that have health insurance find that they're not covered for some catastrophic illnesses and other things. That's sort of the theme of Michael Moore's new documentary, Sicko. And so, all the candidates on the Democratic side are talking about health insurance, but only Edwards has come up with a plan that covers everybody and that recognizes that this will cost money. But actually, in the long run, it'll save money because Americans now spend dramatically more than any other country in the world on a per-person basis for health care, and yet we get so much less for our money in part because there's so much red tape and administrative costs going into the insurance industry and the pharmaceutical industry. So that Edwards' plan would cover everybody, kind of like a Medicare for all plan that would not socialize medicine, meaning it wouldn't be doctors and nurses working for the government. It would be private health care providers who are simply paid by the government for their services rather than by private insurance companies, which Edwards points out is, you know, and a lot of people have pointed out, is not very efficient.
Right. He started this tour in New Orleans where he announced his presidential run. That city is still a mess, isn't it? It hasn't been rebuilt. People are getting cheated out of insurance money there so that they can rebuild. It's just, we paid attention when the hurricane struck. Are we paying attention now to what's happened in terms of, well, nothing happening in New Orleans to rebuild?
Well, you know, this was an example of the worst kind of crony capitalism in the Bush administration, where, you know, a huge disaster was imminent. I mean, it's pretty clear that, you know, before Katrina hit, that the levees were going to break at some point. And nobody was paying attention, particularly at the federal level. And, you know, we all know now that FEMA was a mess, and, and that people in the federal government, the Bush administration, were just looking for photo ops, or weren't really willing to spend the money necessary to fix the levees in the first place. And so now that it's over a year later since the hurricane, people are still waiting for the Bush administration to come through. The local government didn't do a great job, and the state government, Governor Blanco, didn't do a great job. But, you know, when I live in Los Angeles, and in 1994 there was a huge earthquake, the Northridge earthquake, and FEMA was here in a minute and did a great job. So it's not that the federal government can't help people who were victims of natural disasters. It has to do with whether the federal government has the political will to do that. And there are a lot of groups in New Orleans right now, like ACORN and various church groups and community organizations, that are pushing for faster federal aid to get people back in their homes. But, you know, if it's not in the media, then the Bush administration doesn't really care, which is why, to get back to Edwards, why he's taking this tour, because people need to see the human side of the tragedies in our midst. And he's banking on the hope that if Americans can, the media will pay attention and tell the story of America's poverty, which is the story of people that are working hard but simply you know, playing by the rules in most cases, but simply not making it, then he can draw on our compassion and our sense of having a common fate with mm-hmm. the people who could be us.
So do you think that this tour will help in making people care?
Well, you know, it's a gradual process. I think that it's no accident that the New York Times had an entire issue of its magazine a couple of weeks ago on the issue of poverty and equality. They wouldn't have done that a year ago, but it was because of Edwards' campaign drawing attention to this issue. And if you think about one of the most popular books over the last few years was Barbara Ehrenreich's book called Nickeled and Dimed, about the working poor. Labor unions are getting more attention, and people are paying more interest in labor unions. I think the American public is ready to tackle the issue of poverty, but it has to be framed in a way that it combines the federal government's concern about the poor and the concerns of the middle class and the growing economic insecurity. And I think that Edwards is figuring out a way to talk about those dual concerns and see that people have more in common than they have differently. And he's also trying to de-racialize the issue. You know, when I ask my students what their stereotypes are of poor people, they usually say they're African Americans or Latinos. But the reality is that the majority of poor Americans are white. And I think that if Edwards can show that the human face of poverty is white, black, Latino, and Asian, and it's not the stereotype we have, that also helps.
We're going to welcome phone calls for Professor Peter Dreyer, Distinguished Professor of Politics and Director of the Urban and Environmental Policy Program at Occidental College. He is the co-author of Place Matters, Metro Politics for the 21st Century, and The Next Los Angeles, The Struggle for a Livable City. He's a regular contributor to the Los Angeles Times, The Nation magazine, and The American Prospect, expert on a range of policy issues, public policy, including poverty, urban politics, and housing. And he served as senior policy advisor to Boston Mayor Ray Flynn from 84 to 92. A couple lines are open if you'd like to join this conversation. We're talking about John Edwards' 3-day tour, 8-city tour to highlight poverty in this country and to suggest solutions, take on the solutions, the symbolism of this tour, income inequality, whether or not we need a federal minimum wage increase, a big increase, what we can do to attract businesses to impoverished areas in this country, and if we need to have some kind of tax incentives for companies to locate in very poor areas. So that's what we're talking about. Here's the number, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Milwaukee area callers, 414-227-2050. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to phone calls now for Professor Peter Dreyer and start with Zach from Green Bay. Hi, Zach.
Good morning. I think that 2008, possibly the most important election in U.S. history, and I think that Democrats ought to be shaking in their boots about the prospect of having yet another Supreme Court justice nominee from a Republican president. I think the mainstream media has ignored and marginalized John Edwards because I think he actually wants to do something about the economic and political power structure. I think he wants to help Americans versus help big business. And if I were a Republican right now, I'd be putting my money behind the campaigns of either Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton because they are the two most beatable Democratic candidates, in my opinion.
Professor Dreyer.
Well, there's a couple of points in your statement. One has to do with, it is true that the media is tending to focus on the money race between the candidates and focusing more about who's getting campaign contributions than they are about what the issues are. And I think that things like this poverty tour that Edwards is trying to pay attention to the real issues of people and their concerns. That's why he's, as I said earlier, he spent the last couple of years going on picket lines and helping raise the minimum wage in different states because he's interested in the issues. So I think you're right that the media is not paying enough attention to the issues, and they have been marginalizing Edwards. But I think this poverty tour is actually reversing some of that. I've been looking on the web, and this tour is actually getting a lot of media attention. Big article in the Washington Post today, an article in the New York Times the other day, and most of the other major urban metropolitan newspapers are paying attention to this. I also think that Edwards is probably the candidate who can most effectively run against any of the Republican candidates. I think he's at a disadvantage in the Democratic primary right now because the media is not paying enough attention to him. But I do think that if you match him up against Giuliani or Romney or McCain or any other major candidates, he shows the polls show that the public is pretty sympathetic towards him.
It is to me. I'm back to where I started this interview, but it's so interesting. I remember 4 years ago hearing him in Central City, Milwaukee, a very impoverished part of this city, and he was saying the same thing 4 years ago. And you have to give somebody credit for staying on an issue that simply has not been politically popular, and then to have it reach a point where the mainstream press is paying attention to what he's having to say. Nobody else is taking that political risk, are they?
You know, not only that, but when Edwards was running for president in 2004, and focusing on this "To America" theme of the rich and everybody else,
right?
You know, the media kind of made fun of it, and then when he got the vice presidential call from John Kerry, Kerry basically insisted that he play down this theme of the "To America," this populist or progressive theme, because he thought that he could lose mainstream voters by paying too much attention to inequality. But now, you know, only 2.5 years later, I think you're right that Edwards, he's been persistent, and that's been helpful because now the media and the public seems to be paying more attention to this issue. So
yes,
you do have to give him credit for sticking to his guns. And again, like I said earlier, showing leadership, not just following the polls, but trying to be a politician who tries to change public opinion and not just respond to it.
Zach, thanks very much for the call. Let's go to Janine from New Berlin. Hi, Janine.
Hi. I feel the poverty problem would be lessened if everyone paid their fair share of taxes, stopped giving money to corporations and small businesses to come in and start up. These people are paying zero taxes and supporting no one, helping us pay for the poor and the health care of the people that need it, etc. These businesses use these phony corporations to take luxury trips all in the name of business meetings. I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Well, it is true that Americans pay lower taxes on average than people in other capitalist countries in Europe and in Canada. But one of the things that John Edwards is calling for is something, an expansion of probably the most effective anti-poverty program we have, which is called the Earned Income Tax Credit. It's basically a wage supplement for the working poor, and it puts money in the pockets of working poor people so that they can afford to buy more goods and then stimulate the economy. And it's effective in rural areas where there's still a lot of poverty and big cities. But one of the things that has happened in the last 20 years or so is that more and more Americans who are poor live in the suburbs, particularly the inner suburbs. And so the Earned Income Tax Credit is also helping revitalize some of those older suburbs that have been left behind. So tax policy is something important. I agree with the caller that that Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and the billionaires in the United States can afford to pay more taxes, not the ordinary average working American, but the very wealthy. And you know, one of the reasons why I think Edwards' campaign is his message is resonating is that Americans are aware that the gap between the rich and everybody else is widening while the rich are paying less in taxes. One interesting statistic, back in 1976, the average CEO made 36 times that of the average worker, and today the average CEO makes almost 400 times that of the average worker. So the gap between the rich and the poor is really widening, but the taxes that the rich pay are not commensurate with what they can afford, or even what they were paying back in this will be hard to believe, I know, but when Dwight Eisenhower, a Republican, a conservative Republican, was the president of the United States back in the 1950s, the top marginal tax rate for the very, very rich was over 80%. That didn't mean they paid 80% of their entire income, but they paid 80% of the top million. And now the top tax rate is about 35%. So Americans who are in that top tax bracket can definitely afford to pay more in taxes. But the real question for the presidential candidates is, even if we had more money, what would we spend it on?
Right. What about this statement that Edwards made about creating incentives for companies to locate in areas, I believe he was in Arkansas when he said that, so the companies willing to come where poverty levels are high, jobs are desperately needed. Talk about that, and talk about it in relationship to what's happening in the corporate community, where indeed, because of some Democratic presidents as well, Bill Clinton, a lot of these companies have just taken their companies and moved them, you know, to China or to wherever. Talk about it in context of the global economy, the global corporate economy.
Well, the you know, one of the most important trends of the last 25 years or so has been the offshoring or the export of good American jobs to countries that really pay nothing to their workers in China and Latin America and Africa. And and so poverty is increasingly a global problem, and John Edwards has talked about the need for America to be a leader in alleviating global poverty. But at the same time, we need to keep the good jobs here in the United States. And we've been debating as a nation whether we want to take the low road towards economic development, which is more kind of what people call the Walmartization of America, low-wage jobs without health benefits and paid vacations, whether we want to take the high road and try to compete with Europe and other countries that have better worker pro-worker policies. And so attracting business into the inner city makes sense if those are good jobs. If they're just McDonald's and Walmart jobs, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
And there are a number of cities around the country, including where I live in Los Angeles, that are developing what are called community benefit agreements, which is that cities and states that provide tax incentives and subsidies for business, in exchange for that, expect those businesses to pay a living wage and provide health benefits. And I think if we do it that way, and that's what Edwards is calling for, then our tax dollars will go a lot further than if we're subsidizing sweatshops and low-wage jobs moving into the inner city. So there are a number of cities, Milwaukee has done some of this as well, where a living wage policy and community benefits are quid pro quo for getting public dollars for business incentives.
It is amazing to me as I think about all of these issues. How is it that we've allowed things to get this bad? How have we allowed this wage gap to be as big as it is? How have we allowed American workers to suffer because jobs are going elsewhere? How have we allowed ourselves to not even pay attention to what's happening with people who are working three jobs to make ends meet? Where is our sense of what is the right thing to do?
I think you have to distinguish what the American people believe from what politicians in Washington do. The public opinion polls that I've seen and just all the evidence suggest that the American people have understood for quite a while that we need to raise the minimum wage, that we need to make it easier for workers to join labor unions, that we need to provide universal health insurance to people, that we need to guarantee that people that work full-time don't live in poverty. That's been a pretty consistent finding of the polls. The problem is that in Washington, corporate money tends to dominate politics, and it's gotten worse despite McCain-Feingold campaign finance reform. So I think we need to do a couple of things to change that equation. Number one, we need to improve our campaign finance laws so that money plays a less of a significant role, particularly money from big business plays less of a significant role in our political system. Number two, we need to guarantee everybody that has the right to vote can exercise it, and that means making it easier for people to vote as opposed to what we do in this country, which is to make it harder than for people to vote. For example, having elections be a national holiday like they have in most other countries would make sense. And thirdly, and perhaps most importantly in terms of the wage gap, is that we have to change our labor laws. America has the least pro-worker labor laws of any industrial country in the world. It's almost impossible for workers to organize a labor union given the way that our National Labor Relations Board works, where they oversee an election, but the advantages all go to business. And businesses spend hundreds of million dollars a year for union-busting campaigns and consultants. And so there's a bill before Congress right now called the Employee Free Choice Act, which would basically say that if a majority of the workers in a workplace want to have a union and they sign a card saying so, that the company has to bargain with them. And that bill is moving forward. All the Democratic candidates have endorsed it, and I think it would probably be one of the top priorities of any Democrat who was elected president in 2008. But certainly Senator Edwards has been a strong advocate of labor law reform, and he said what I think is the basic truth, that the best social policy in America is a good job.
That's a good statement. We're going to welcome more phone calls. Our guest, we're talking about John Edwards and his focus on poverty. He's on a three-day tour of poverty-stricken parts of the rural South and the urban Midwest. It's an eight-state tour, and he has this isn't new for him, as you know. If you followed him in 2004, this Two Americas theme was a big part of what he had to say in 2004 when he was running as well, and it's very big right now. He has set up the Center on Poverty, Work, and Opportunity at the University of North Carolina Law School, enabled the school to research poverty, and he has been raising the issue of poverty at each stop on his campaign trail here, speaking with passion and calling it a moral issue that is facing America. Take on some of his suggestions if you'd like: an increase in the federal minimum wage, universal health care in this country, having paid sick leave, which is an issue that we have yet to talk about with Professor Dreyer, and whether or not this issue will resonate with voters, or does that not make it any difference? It's just a good thing to look at people who are working hard and yet not able to feed their families all the time because their wages are so low, or they don't have health care, they don't have paid sick leave. 800-486-8655 is our number, 227-2050. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, Tom from Madison is next. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And thank you so much for this program, because it's really excellent. And I think it's excellent because so little is being talked about this in the mainstream media. You asked the question, why is it that we've gotten to this point? I think one of the things that, since Reagan, the powers that be and the people with money and the corporations discovered is that money will drive the public debate if you know how to use it.
Mm.
And they've learned how to use it, and they've bought the media, they've consolidated the media. You see where this guy who came up through a basic blue-collar working-class family and did everything that the American dream is supposed to be about and then gets ridiculed because he's still willing to speak for those who don't have. And you see how the mainstream media just sort of buys into that critique rather than talking about what he's actually raising as an issue. And this is sort of a repetitive theme in important issues in this country. We talk about the sound bites and the little jabs that are created by these characters, and we don't talk about the substantive issue. And I think, I don't know, I watch a lot of news. I watch MSNBC and CNN at night and that kind of thing, and I just am, I have to say, I'm just depressed at the state of information that's given to the American people.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Tom, for your call. Great call. Professor Dreyer.
Well, you know, the mainstream media are businesses, and they need to capture an audience, but they also need to pay attention to what people are feeling, or they'll turn it off. And I think that having the kind of poverty tour that Edwards is doing now and drawing attention to poverty means that, as I said earlier, that almost every major newspaper and television network are now, at least for this week, are going to pay attention to the poor. It's also the 40th anniversary this week of the urban riots of the 1960s, 1967 in Newark and Detroit and 160 other cities. And so there's been a lot of stories about the urban riots and what caused them. And I think that a lot of Americans know that, you know, our cities are kind of ticking time bombs right now, and that we really need to do something to avoid another wave of riots. But what's different than in the 1960s is that the media now realize that it's the middle class that is also hurting. And I think that's why, despite what the caller said, health care is probably the number one issue in this presidential election.
I agree.
Iraq.
Right.
Because, you know, so many middle-class Americans are either don't have health insurance or feel insecure about the health insurance they have. And so I think ultimately, you know, reporters, editors, they have to pay attention to what Americans are feeling. Now, last night I was watching CNN and I saw an article about Edwards' poverty tour. And the reporter was sort of making fun of it, saying this is not an issue that's going to help his campaign, and he's just doing this to because it's a morally right thing to do, but he's not going to help him get elected president. And rather than applauding a candidate that's taking on a moral issue, this reporter was kind of making fun of him.
Oh my.
I think that you know, there's some of that cynicism in the mainstream media, but ultimately I think Americans are resonating to this issue of inequality, poverty, and opportunity. And I think that the media are going to have to start paying attention to it, in part because that's what Americans are feeling.
Right. Why did they? They could just as easily have made this kind of a second-tier story because he's not, you know, Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, who are number one and two at this point. Why do you think the press decided to pick up on this and give it substantial coverage?
Well, I think it's part of the horse race kind of reporting that most media have, which is, you know, you have Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton raising so much money. And so part of the media coverage is who's raising more money. But I also think they want to make it, you know, competitive. And I think that they see John Edwards as somebody who's now trying to come from behind. And that attracts the media's attention as well, that kind of horse race reporting. Who's winning, who's losing? So sometimes you don't get the issues, but if the media can pay attention to what the candidates are saying, and particularly what Edwards, and I have to give credit to Obama as well, talking about some of the issues, but not to the same extent that Edwards is talking about the the issues that are facing the working poor and the middle class.
Thank you, Tom, so much for the call. We go to Bob next from Winona. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I agree with everything you've said, certainly morally and ethically and business-wise, too. But what concerns me is, as the unions would have more successes, a minimum wage would go up, how do you plug the other end? How does that not possibly backfire in more outsourcing to other countries?
Well, that's a very good question. The question really revolves around whether raising the minimum wage would hurt business. And in fact, there's lots of research that shows that raising the minimum wage actually helps the economy. There was a study done comparing New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and they both had similar economies. One state raised the minimum wage and the other didn't. And the state that raised the minimum wage, which was Pennsylvania, did not see a decline in jobs. And that's because most jobs in America now are pretty sticky, meaning that they are tied to the country. There are jobs that are being outsourced, mostly low-wage factory jobs. But hospitals, tourism, utilities, you know, most American jobs now that are in this country can't go anywhere. I live in Los Angeles, and the unions are now pushing to unionize grocery stores and hospitals and the janitors and the security guards. And those are industries that can't go anywhere. They can't leave. And so raising the minimum wage in those sectors of the economy actually help. And one more thing is that when people have more money in their pockets, particularly the poor, they spend it. When the rich get more money, they save it. They put it in, or they buy fine wine, or
they buy their fifth house,
right? Or take long vacations, or buy bigger houses. But when the poor get an increase in their wages, they put it back in the local economy, and that generates more demand, and that creates more jobs. So raising the minimum wage, even as Edwards is calling for, to $9.50 an hour over a couple of years, up to the poverty level, actually is good for the economy.
More phone calls in a moment. Professor Peter Dreyer is our guest this hour. Distinguished professor of politics, director of the Urban and Environmental Policy Program at Occidental College. He is the author of Place Matters, Metropolitics for the 21st Century and The Next Los Angeles, The Struggle for a Livable City. He contributes regularly to the LA Times, The Nation, The American Prospect, and is an expert on many public policy issues, poverty, urban politics, housing, served as senior policy advisor to Boston Mayor Ray Flynn from 1984 to 1992. We're talking about presidential candidate John Edwards' poverty tour in this country, in which he is calling for solutions to poverty and also just trying to raise the level of awareness to poverty in the United States and the 37 million people in this country who live below the poverty line. Did I give you the number again? 800-486-8655. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up the second hour of our program today, studies have shown that there are more people who are between the ages of 45 to 65 who have hearing loss then there are people over the age of 65 with hearing loss, and that perhaps because of loud music, iPods, all those things that radio announcers, those things we put on our ears every day, more people are losing their hearing earlier in life. So we will talk about that. We'll talk about prevention. And we'll also look at this issue of why is it that we can't have some kind of really sophisticated technology that would give people hearing aids that wouldn't be embarrassing for them to wear. So that's after 10 o'clock. Poverty in America this hour. And our number is 800-486-8655, 227-2050 in Milwaukee. Steve is next. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. Yeah, I have a couple of comments. I'm a small business owner. I have been for 18 years. And I have to say, honestly, no disrespect intended. I disagree with virtually everything the professor has said. My business basically runs on a very small margin thanks to the amount of taxes and mandated insurance, unemployment insurance, workers' comp insurance that I'm forced to carry, and raising the minimum wage to $9 an hour. I have people who make more than that, but it may very well, and this is the acclaim of a majority of small businesses. I mean small businesses, not corporate-run businesses like McDonald's, but small businesses that thrive in the small communities. We had people forced out of business, and you know, I think the Democrats are getting a free ride on this issue, and it's very typical. Barack Obama is, and I think especially Mr. Edwards, who has made over $100 million as a corporate lawyer suing small businesses. I really am afraid of what he's saying, and here's the reason why. Having worked in the inner city there, it's my observation that, and it's, I mean, in Wisconsin, it's certainly the case that so many of our really good, your guest said low-paying jobs, I think they're very good-paying jobs in a lot of the small businesses in Fox River Valley and Sheboygan are being shipped off to China. And those jobs, sir, you know they're not coming back. We are never going to get the kind of manufacturing sector back. And if we, and I guess my final comment would be that if we don't address the lack of really, of we don't raise the academic standard in our schools, this country has no future. Both of my sons are studying in South Korea right now, where the educational level is about 4 to 5 years higher. They're studying math there, sir, in the eighth grade, that what our seniors are half the time not even studying. If we don't raise the academic standard in this country and give our poor people a chance at a better paying job, there isn't all the government programs in the world, all the government handouts, all the mandated programs, you know, are not going to solve the problem, because it's going to bankrupt us. We already know that in about 3 years, when the Social Security Fund is bankrupt, we're going to be in real dire straits.
And all right, need to hold you there, Steve. We've got a lot of other callers. Professor Dreyer.
Well, the caller made a lot of comments, some of which are accurate and some of which aren't. The biggest burden on small business is health insurance, and almost all the candidates on the Democratic side that are talking about delinking health insurance from employment, meaning that whether or not you have health insurance shouldn't be based on what kind of job you have or whether your employer wants to provide health insurance. And that's the way other countries do it, is that the government provides the insurance. So I think if we take the burden of providing health insurance off of the backs of small business, that'll help increase their competitiveness. I can't agree more with the caller about improving the schools. In fact, Senator Edwards has a plan to provide more funding for teachers, for teacher training, and for higher salaries for teachers, and also more money for the schools that are not doing well. We are falling behind in our other countries in terms of math and reading in our education system. On the other hand, there are a lot of incredibly great teachers in this country who just don't, you can't teach when you have 40 kids in a classroom. So we need to have more school buildings and more teachers, and that costs money. There's no way around that. And if we invest more in education now, we'll have incredible payoffs in the not-too-distant future.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Let's go next to Jim. Jim is next from South Range. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, this poverty tour, what a joke. If this ain't for votes, I don't know what it's for. But when he was an elected official, Edwards, how many poverty tours did he take?
Say that again?
What?
When he was an elected official?
When he was a senator?
Yes. Yeah, how many poverty tours?
Why do you call it a joke? What's a joke about it?
It's a joke. It's just for votes. I mean, anyone can see that.
Well, poor people don't vote in large numbers. Why would this be? People are saying it's not politically beneficial for him because
that's the only reason these people do that. How many poverty tours did he take when he was an elected official?
Well, he was a senator for 6 years, and I know he voted to increase the minimum wage while he was a senator. I think he's also had a bit of a, you know, a change of his own outlook in the last decade or so. And he talks about that. He talks about how he's evolved as a person and as an elected official and as a public figure. And I think, you know, Bobby Kennedy used to work for Joe McCarthy, the Republican,
exactly,
you know, anti-communist conservative senator. And he evolved to the point where he was going around with Cesar Chavez, the farm worker leader, and taking poverty tours. And I think when we look back, we think that Bobby Kennedy's change of heart was sincere. And I think, and Bobby Kennedy came from an extremely privileged family, and it took some tragedies in his own life, including the death of his older brother, John, to sort of, push him into understanding the needs of the downtrodden. And I don't I don't think he was insincere. I just think it took time. And I think the same thing was true of Edwards, except he's, you know, now running for president, like Bobby Kennedy was in 1968, trying to galvanize public opinion and public will around the widening gap between the rich and the poor and the concerns of the middle class as well as the poor. I think you have to give the guy credit for it and not be so cynical.
Yeah, that's an amazing degree of cynicism from that caller, because it's not going to win him a whole lot here, as far as I can tell. You know, there aren't going to be a lot of people all of a sudden saying, he's our guy on this issue. Thank goodness that he brought up this issue. This is not a popular issue in America.
I said, you know, hopefully it will help his presidential campaign. Because,
I hope, yeah.
You know, I mean, my own view is, as I said before, that this is an issue that a lot of Americans care about, but we have to get organized people to take more of a role in politics and less organized money. And the way that Edwards is going around the country, not just as a politician making speeches, but working with grassroots organizations, labor unions, groups like ACORN, and which is a community organizing group with chapters all over the country, I think he's trying to help empower people to help themselves. There's nothing more American than having people help themselves, and I think that that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to bring a sense of hope and opportunity to people around the country by drawing attention to the good work that nonprofit groups are doing in our inner cities and our rural areas, building affordable housing, providing job training. In other words, we have a lot of very good ideas that are already working as models all over the country in our cities and rural areas, but they need to be lifted up and better funded. And I think that's partly what John Edwards is trying to do. He's not trying to reinvent the wheel. He's trying to say that we have a lot of things that are working. Let's expand them.
Thanks very much for the call. Let's go next to Ed from Madison. Hi, Ed.
Good morning. Boy, I'd sure like to comment on the what the last two callers said, but that's not what I called about. Kathleen, you asked earlier how it got to this point, and Professor Dreyer commented that it's not so much what the people think, it's more what the politicians do, and I really think that's where all the divisive issues that are used come in. You know, we're promised that they're going to protect us from the terrorists, and they're going to protect us from the Mexicans, and they're going to protect our families by not letting gays get married, and they use all of these issues to distract people, while what they're really doing is continue to tilt the table even more towards the rich. And by doing that over years and years, that's how we've gotten to this point where, you know, we have very few jobs in this country and very few good-paying jobs. Not the last caller, but the one before said we're never going to have a manufacturing sector again. I think we have to have jobs like that somehow, and I think that we can, but we need lots of jobs that don't require a PhD, where people can make something that this country needs, and they can take that money and support a family and have, you know, a three-bedroom house. And there's very little of that going on anymore, and less every day.
And that's the American dream in some measure of the American dream.
It used to be the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the American dream has gone away, and I think we need to get that back somehow.
Professor Dreyer.
You know, John Edwards' dad was a mill worker in a textile factory in North Carolina, and so he certainly understands that, you know, a generation and a half ago, if you didn't have a college degree, if you didn't even have a high school degree, you could get a job in a factory, and if it was unionized, you could make a living wage and have health care benefits and get a couple of weeks of paid vacation a year. And fewer and fewer Americans have that. We need to find a new way to bring those benefits back to the United States, not only for people who work in factories, but for people who work in stores and hospitals and hotels and office buildings. The manufacturing sector is still important, but it's declining as a share of all jobs. We're never going to bring back the automobile industry the way it was 30 or 40 years ago. But there are still many manufacturing jobs in this country. And not all of them are exportable to other countries. And it's really whether or not we encourage businesses to modernize. For example, there's a group called the Apollo Alliance that has a plan for creating over a million environmentally clean jobs over the next decade or so, and they've identified a number of sectors of our economy that would be that would benefit if we put our resources into cleaning up the environment by creating good jobs.
We'll do a show on them. We're plumb out of time.
Okay.
Professor Dreyer, thank you so much. Join us again soon. Thank you.
Sure.
Professor Peter Dreyer, Distinguished Professor of Politics, Director of the Urban and Environmental Policy Program at Occidental College. Thanks, everybody, for all of your calls. To Rhonda Fanning, thanks for producing the hour. John Treader, thanks for on-air production. We're going to hear the latest news from National Public Radio, and we'll return and talk about our hearing. So that's coming up. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.